Praise the Lord, saints. Are you enjoying this time? Isn't the word fresh to us? I'm so grateful to the Lord for His supply, for His speaking, for His light in the word, for the encouragement. Our Lord is so living and fresh, so precious. We thank You, Lord, that You're with us. We thank You for Your presence. Your presence is everything to us. We just breathe You in, Lord Jesus. We truly want to have a deep relationship with You, relationship in life, to experience You all the time. Let's read the title of this message together. Allowing the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts, letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, and persevering in prayer for the genuine church life. Allowing the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts, letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, and persevering in prayer for the genuine church life. This is the purpose, the goal of all these points we will talk about. This goal, the genuine church life, in my experience, when I was getting ready for this message, this is the desire of the Lord's heart. The Lord desires the genuine church life. The genuine church life is a manifestation of the one new man in each locality. The Lord desires to have one new man. He created the one new man. In Ephesians 2, Paul says, He Himself is our peace. He Himself is our peace. For He Himself is our peace, He who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition, the enmity. Who created the one new man on the cross, and so making peace. We're talking about the peace of Christ. He already accomplished it. He already made peace. He made peace for the one new man. In one new man, there is peace. And this peace is Christ. And this peace is so that the one new man could be built up, so that he could grow. This peace is something wonderful to us. We're special people on this planet because we can experience something like the peace of Christ. This is not meditation, there's not a technique, it's a living person inside of every regenerated person. It's Christ Himself as our peace. And this word is mainly based on Colossians 3. We find out something more here. Colossians 3, starting with verse 3:12. Put on therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, inward parts of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone should have a complaint against anyone, even as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive. And over all these things put on love, which is the uniting bond of perfectness. And let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. So we have the peace of Christ. And there's this word arbitrate in your hearts. And this peace, we were called to this peace. We were called to peace. We were not called to fight with one another. We were called to peace of Christ in one body. So the Lord made that peace. He destroyed the wall of partition, enmity among all the believers, so making peace, so that we could have a situation of peace among us, a condition of peace among us. And there's something flowing out of that peace. It's love, life, supply. Let's read together Roman numeral 1. We need to allow the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts. We need to allow the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts. This means that this peace is already here. We don't have to create it. We just have to keep it. We just have to keep it in our hearts. Peace with one another. I was touched with the fact that this peace, first of the verses that I read that brought me to salvation were the verses from John. I give you my peace, not as the world gives you peace, but I give you my peace. It was wonderful to me. An inner peace, rest in Christ. But this peace, which we're talking about here, is in the context of the body of Christ. This peace is for the body of Christ. So we have something, such thing as this peace of Christ. At point A, we read the Greek term for arbitrate can also be rendered umpire, preside, be enthroned as a ruler and decider of everything. The arbitrating peace of Christ dissolves our complaint against anyone. So here we have the context. In verse 13, it says, bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone should have a complaint against anyone, even as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive. Just the word arbitrate means umpire, preside, or be enthroned as a ruler. Who is on the throne of our being, of our inner being? Is it my opinion about a certain brother? A good opinion because I like him? Or maybe my opinion about a brother whom I don't like that much? And this opinion can rule us. But here we see that peace should rule us. This peace is Christ. He should have the last word. This is unavoidable. There are so many opinions in us. In fact, we are just one big opinion. It gets generated in us. It's produced in us, multiplies in us all the time. But this opinion, let's check our experience. Opinion divides. This brother said something to me. I will not be built up with him. I know what kind of person he is. No, this is my opinion. The Lord created peace, made peace, and this peace should arbitrate in our being. Of course, words come out of our opinions. And this is what destroys this oneness among us. And when we talk about the relationships among the saints and the churches, we need to allow the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts. So should it all be end with our opinion about a certain person? There's something more in our being. We have an opinion, we may say something, but inside of us, we have no peace. We sense that we lose our connection with the Lord. We have no peace. What does this mean? That something's wrong with what we're saying. The peace should arbitrate in us. We should come to Christ and let this peace to reign in us. This peace is the only thing that can absorb, swallow up all our opinion, dissolve them, if we allow Christ as the peace of Christ to preside on the throne of our being, to have the last word. Our reaction that we may have when some saints speak to us, some things, or to certain situations and all kinds of situations in the church life. We may have all kinds of reactions, but what will we do? What will we do? Will we follow that reaction, or will we stop to check with the Lord, to come to Him, so that the peace of Christ would have the last word? Will what I say because of my reaction bring peace? If there's no peace, there's no building, no building up. There's no supply. It's cut off. We are not able to be built up. The Lord needs the situation of peace in the church life and to build the one new man. This is why this word is so crucial in this context, in the context of the one new man in the church life. Point two, often we are conscious of three parties within us, a positive party, a negative party, and a neutral party. Hence, there is the need for inward arbitration to settle the dispute within us. This is the reason why there's all kinds of reactions in our inner being, all kinds of opinions. We need to allow the peace of Christ to arbitrate in us. This word we will repeat over and over again. This peace of Christ needs to be the king. This peace of Christ needs to be on the throne. This is the meaning of this word. This peace needs to have the last word. We're about to say something, but do we have a peace when you say it? Let's move on. Whenever we sense that different parties within our being are arguing or quarreling, we need to give place to the presiding peace of Christ and allow this peace, which is the oneness of the new man, to rule within us and have the final word. We can experience this even in our family life, with the persons closest to us, with our spouse, with our children, small, older children, with the members of the body of Christ. I may be more careful, but in the family, we come out of the person of the Lord, out of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we don't even realize that our words, our reactions, in our daily living, we may be cut off from that peace, because our words destroy that peace. And there's no building up then.
Skończy się takie zaopatrzenie, żeby w ogóle móc przyjść do
where can we take this peace? Where can we take this supply from to come to the Lord? Sometimes we are in pain, we're offended. Somebody offended us, said something negative to us. And we don't want to come to the Lord. Or we put our thought, our attitude on the throne. No, because this brother said this and that. He always does that. This is the sphere of right and wrong. But inside of us, we still may not have peace. So many times this brother did that. And I will express that openly. But I have no peace. Because on the throne of our inner being, there is my opinion. On the throne of our inner being should sit the peace of Christ. This epistle was written to the saints in Colossae, where there was a particular kind of situation. All kinds of philosophies came into the church life. Mainly the Greek philosophies, culture, also Jewish philosophies, coming from Jewish religion, how to eat meals, how to wash ourselves, all kinds of things. Asceticism, it's very hard to fight asceticism. It's kind of a high standard, moral standard. But this was distracting the saints from enjoying the Lord. And Paul was fighting with all these things, with philosophies, with asceticism, Jewish religion, in this epistle. And in chapter 3:1, if therefore you were raised together with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. Raised together with Christ, seek the things which are above. What's above? Talking about the peace of Christ, Paul tells us to seek what's above. Christ is above. Above. Christ is above, our Lord and His heavenly ministry. We enjoy Christ accomplishing the redemptive work in His earthly ministry. But today, He's not just resting on the throne in the heavens, just waiting, doing nothing. He's a servant in the heavenly tabernacle. He's the high priest who actively serves as the high priest. He intercedes. The high priest intercedes. He brings our situation. He brings us in any condition we are, in our offense, in our opinion. He brings us to God. And He dispenses the supply to us, which is He Himself, Triune God, so that we seek what's above. Christ, who dispenses Himself into us. We need to open ourselves to Him. We need to receive from Him what's abundant, the abundant supply. The bread and the wine in our daily living. Because the Christ who sits on the throne in the heavens is our high priest. We have a high priest who intercedes for us. And He is able to be touched in our weaknesses. And He always lives to intercede, to save us to the uttermost, through His indestructible life, which He gave us, He dispensed to us. We have such a supply. We have such a reserve. Coming back to the peace of Christ, point 2. We need to contact this heavenly Christ in our spirit. We need to set aside our opinion, our concept, and listen to the word of the indwelling referee. In our inner being, we have such a supply. Christ is our peace. He needs to be enthroned in us to have the last word, so we have that supply because of Him. We need that supply to set aside our opinion, our concept. And this pertains to all kinds of spheres of our living. What our life should look like, what the church life should look like, the world. But the church life is not being built by opinions, but by the living supply of the triune God unto us. See, if we allow the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts, this peace will settle all the disputes among us. Amen. We will have peace with God vertically and with the saints horizontally. We need to pursue this, to contact the Lord, to remain in the condition of peace with one another, the peace that's in our inner being. This is important for the Lord to gain what He desires. We need to allow Christ to rule over us as our peace in order to experience Him as such. C1, through the arbitration of the peace of Christ, our problems are solved and the friction between the saints disappears. Then the church life is preserved in sweetness and the new man is maintained in a practical way. Let's read it together at this point. Through the arbitration of the peace of Christ, our problems are solved and the friction between the saints disappears. Then the church life is preserved in sweetness and the new man is maintained in a practical way. I have to testify of this, and many of us had that experience. Perhaps we received a blow from a brother or a sister in the church life. It caused us to lose our temper inwardly. Then we would come back home. We want to talk about it. We want to just open up that wound. But then we come to the Lord, and the Lord just gives us peace. We allow Him to have the first place. If we do that, then the situation is dissolved. He comes into us as love. Even as the brother shared before, Lord, just bless the brother. Dispense yourself into him. I thank you for his word, for what he said. This peace is able to do this, to dissolve our opinions, our concepts, and keep us in the situation of oneness. Usually there is an offended and an offending one. Sometimes the offending one will realize they made a mistake and will come and apologize. But they may not do that. What about us? Will it cause us to leave the church life? Will it cause us to bring in confusion? Or will we come to the Lord and receive the supply which is able to dissolve this opinion, this situation? Praise the Lord, saints, that we have such a thing as the arbitrating peace of Christ in us. C2. The arbitrating of the peace of Christ is Christ working within us to exercise His rule over us, to speak the last word and to make the final decision. We can submit to that peace so that peace can rule over us. When I read that word about arbitrating, ruling, I was applying it to all kinds of spheres, but here we see that this peace has to arbitrate in us to the end, rule in us, to speak the last word and to make the final decision. this peace should be the deciding factor of all our decisions. How what we are about to do will affect the body of Christ. Driving that Mercedes, this great car, may not affect the church, the saints, very well. We may have no peace about that because the Lord wants to build. So we have to be directed by His peace. Most of our mistakes, that based on which I'm learning, they come from this, that I make decisions without paying attention to the saints, to the body of Christ. We need to pay attention to that peace that wants to make decisions in us. If we stay under the ruling of the enthroned peace of Christ, we will not offend others or damage them. Rather, by the Lord's grace and with His peace, we will minister life to others. This peace softens us. It causes us to be able to receive the supply, understanding, forbearance, love toward the saints. No words that hurt others will come out of us. No offending words. Rather, by the Lord's grace and with His peace, we will minister life to others. This peace should bind all the believers together and become the uniting bond. Paul was dealing with all kinds of cultures in that church. They were clashing with one another. Even here in the church life in Poland, we have different cultures. Earlier, we only had one culture. Now we have another culture. Seemingly similar, the language is similar, but it's a different culture. I also was on a collision course with that culture. I crashed with that culture. The saints don't like the tomato soup. This is the Polish dish. But the saints from Ukraine don't eat the tomato soup. Praise the Lord for this arbitrating peace of Christ, which can cause us to be kept in the condition of peace. When we have that condition of peace between us and the Lord vertically and between one another horizontally, we can go on to point two. Let's read it together. We need to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. In the first point, we need to allow the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts. Here, we need to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. This is a very practical point. And the Lord really exposed me when I was preparing for this word. The word dwell means to inhabit, but also make home. We know that verse about Christ making home in our hearts through faith. The word of Christ is the word of the New Testament, and this word needs to make home in our hearts, in our inner being. It has to have access to our entire being. How is it in our experience? In my experience, I spend time with the Lord in the morning. I love it. We come to the Lord for Him to touch us, to enliven us. We pray, we receive His word. This word touches us. But what's next? What happens 30 minutes later? Does this word still work on us? Does it have access to our mind? Does it have access to our emotions? It may have only access to a certain part of our being. It moves a little bit, and that's enough for us. We're happy. We have the Lord's presence, and then we leave. But here it says that the word has to dwell in us richly. The word of Christ, the abundant supply, is able to dispense all the riches of Christ into us. But we have to be open to that word. We have to let the word dwell in us richly. This word has to minister to us, but is not able. It's not able because it has no access to us, to our being. What ways do we know which would allow us for the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly? Oftentimes we encourage young people to memorize the Word. So we keep the Word in our memory. Yes, it's precious, but the Word in our memory will not dispense Christ's riches into us in a rich, deep way. We need to open up to let the Word take the first, have the first place in us. This Word has to become our opinion. This Word of Christ in the New Testament can become our concept. It's not simple. We read the Word 10, 20 years. We're full of concepts. We're full of our opinions, views. Let's read point A. It's very rich. Let's just read this point. We need to allow the Word of the Lord to have the first place in us and to inhabit us so that we may experience the functions of the Word of God operating within us and ministering the riches of Christ into our being. The Word has many functions. These functions are living, dynamic, practical, necessary for every believer. The first point says the Word of God enlightens us. We need to read the Word so that it enlightens us in our mind. If we do not read, we'll have darkness in our mind. If we read the Word, we remain in the Word. Our thoughts, the Word that we receive, will enlighten the thoughts that may be in darkness. Otherwise, we may not be able to differentiate between the light and the darkness. Young saints, we need the light from the Word of God. We need to read the Word every day, chapter after chapter, so that the accumulation of light in us would protect us, keep us, expose us. Whatever comes out of darkness would be exposed. The Word of God nourishes us. Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live on bread alone, but with every word that is proceeding out of the mouth of God. With every word. When we read the Word nourishes us. And then the Word of God waters us to quench our thirst. All the thirsty, all who is thirsty, come to the waters. All who do not have money, come and buy. Yes, come and buy with no money. The Word is full of supply, full of milk and wine. There is a question rising up in me. How? Lord, how can I allow this Word to operate in us in a richer way? How can we allow it to dwell in us richly? The Word of God strengthens us. 1 John 2:14b. It is written, it has been written to you, young people, because you're strong, the Word of God abides in you. If the Word of God does not abide in you, you will not be strong. Your spine will be like a match. You'll be like a flag. This or that will come and will just knock you off. The Word needs to strengthen us. The Word has the ability to strengthen us if it abides in us. Then the Word of God washes us. During the day, often, we don't know what's wrong. We're down. Perhaps it's not sin. It may not be sin. We live in the world, so we need the Word washing us. We have this laver that washes us with the living water. This is the function of the Word. The Word of God builds us up. Paul said, I commit you to God, the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. So we need to read the word. We need to open up to the word so it can build us up. We need to read it. We need to read it to one another. The word of God completes, perfects, and sanctifies us to bring us into the oneness in the triune God. The word truly brings us into the God-man living. It soaks us with the element of God, and we become one with him. B. This is a very interesting portion. Colossians 3:16 speaks of letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to God. This is a very strange word to me, very surprising word to me. Paul speaks about admonishing and teaching. He doesn't use the word by reading, but he says singing. We're full, we're filled. We are able to teach. We're able to teach with the word that we enjoy throughout the day. For the word to have a deeper access to us and then flow out of us, we have additional points. One way to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly is by singing it. We have so many hymns in Polish, perhaps even more in other languages. But here we're talking about singing the word of Christ. Let's have a new start. Do you know this is our prayer book, the Bible, the New Testament, the Old Testament? We can pray every word in the Bible. This is not just our prayer book, but this is also our sing book, our hymnal. We can take a verse from the morning revival. We can take one verse, force us a little bit, and then you will see that we can sing this word. This doesn't have to be very melodical, but this word will have a deeper access into your inner being when you sing it. I feel like I came to a standstill in my experience of Christ. I don't know how about you. I don't know what may be the reason for it. But here we're encouraged to read the word. Then we read the verse, we stop and read the verse, but does it get deeper into us? Does it involve our whole being to come out of us in singing, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Paul in Ephesians 5 also speaks about being filled in spirit. Here we need to be filled with the word. So we need to be filled with the spirit and the word. When we are filled with the word, we are filled with the spirit. Let us have a new start, saints. I would like to encourage you. I do not have much experience in this. This is not my rich and abundant experience, but I would like to make this my songbook. We have something in the church life called prayer reading. This is so saving, so precious, such a precious practice we have. Besides the prayer reading, we need to sing read the word, yeah. Not just pray, read the word. Most of the songs for children are based on the Old Testament, but I hope this throughout this year we'll have many, many songs out of many verses. I don't mean to put it on SoundCloud or YouTube, but in your rooms there will be a lot of singing of the word. It doesn't have to be the tune or melody for everybody. We don't have to put it anywhere online. right away, but this is a melody just for you, just to exercise even more, to exercise our being, to receive that word, to exercise our spirit, that word that enlivens us, that saves us, just as Paul and Silas, they were in chains. When they were singing, the chains fell off. So our singing releases us. Throughout the day, we can hum the melody that we made up. I would love to sing together with you, to encourage one another. We can apply the melody that we know already, or we can come up with a new one. Sometimes we can come to a meeting and say, "Saints, I have a verse I would like to sing with you." This is a wonderful practice. Not sure where we are. The more we sing and psalm the Lord's word, the more we give opportunity to the word to dwell in us, sink to us, and permeate us with the divine element. And spontaneously we will live Christ. It's very difficult to build up in a good, healthy habit, but we need to do that. We need to sing the word. Okay, now it's point four. The more we sing and psalm the Lord's word, the more we give opportunity to the word to dwell in us, sink into us, and permeate us with the divine element, and spontaneously we will live Christ. When we sing the word, this word can get deeper into us. Then this verse is real to us. This word dwells in us richly. It soaks us with the divine element. Then spontaneously we will live Christ. I would like to speak a little bit about psalming, the word. Do you know what psalming? Do you have any experience of psalming? I do not have such an experience. Sometimes I read about it. Wonderful. I'm inspired. But we do not have so much of that practice. Psalming is related to musing the word on the word on it, dwelling upon the word. We have a verse we like, we can just sing this word. Oh, we're raised up with Christ. Wonderful. We're raised up with Christ, Lord Jesus. I don't remember the melody to this. I don't want to expose myself. But we can repeat that word. We can sing that word 30 times. And then that word will just will be soaked with that word. Praise the Lord. I will stop here, my portion. Brother Staszek will take over. Respond to that word with prayer. Cause us. May this, what we heard, be our daily experience. May we learn to allow the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts. May we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. We look to you, Lord, with what you still would like to tell us. We open ourselves to you. Speak to us so that we could live a Christian life that will satisfy you, by which you will gain what you desire, the one new man. What we've already heard so far, and what we will hear, and what is the subject of this message, are the words that Paul spoke in Colossians 3 and 4. First, he said that the peace of Christ should arbitrate in our hearts. Then that the word of Christ would dwell in us richly. And then he said that we need to persevere in prayer. That's Colossians 4. The verse on the peace of Christ is Colossians 3:16, 15. And for the word of Christ to dwell in us richly, that's verse 16. And then the verse on persevering in prayer is Colossians 4, verse 2. After these words, we have a short conclusion, and that's the end of this epistle. I started wondering, why did Paul started to speak about such practical matters related to our daily living? Because this part shows us the way we should live our Christian life, what we should do in our Christian life. And we see, because of the ministry, if I read it by myself, I would not pay attention to these things. But because I received mercy from the Lord in the ministry of this age, just as Brother Tom said, which is the ministry, bride preparing ministry, I noticed that because of the ministry, I realized that Paul said all these matters that are included in this message right after he spoke about us putting on the one new man. So what he speaks later related to our daily living is related to the one new man. This actually is for the one new man, which is being accomplished in the church life. And this completely changed my perspective. This caused these verses that we have here a new meaning, a new weight, importance. Because if we practice the things that Paul speaks about, we will have a living which will cause us to have the genuine church life. The ultimate goal of this genuine church life is one new man on the earth. It is very important for us to ask ourselves a question. So how can we have such a living? What is this living about? So we need to look, go back to the verses that we hear from the beginning of this conference. That's Colossians 3:11. I will read that verse again. It says, put on the new man. And who is that new man? That new man is who? I will read this verse and we'll respond. We'll find the answer to that question. The one new man where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. Brothers and sisters, I'll say it again. The one new man is not just a group of Poles together and Ukrainians with them, even though they're believers, they love the Lord, Americans, Slovaks, and so on. The one new man is Christ. There's no room in Christ, there's no room for a natural man. For us, as we were born by nature, with our culture, with our upbringing, with our philosophy, standards. There is no room for that in the one new man. In the new man, there is place only for Christ, because the one new man is just Christ. But not only Christ. It's Christ who is all members of the one new man and in all the members of the one new man. So here we see, it tells us what the Christian living for the one new man is about. It's a living of Christ who lives in the members and becomes these members. This is a living in a union with Christ. In the union with Christ. A Christian life for the new man is a living in union with Christ. It's a life relationship. We take Him as our life. We're still here, but not natural anymore. But we're those in whose living Christ lives. Christ expresses His person, His living, His life. And how did Christ live? In John 15, it says that the words that the Lord spoke, the words that I speak are not my own, but the Father speaks them. So there was Christ, but He spoke the words of the Father, and He was accomplishing the works of the Father. A wonderful revelation of how we should live. So how shall we live? That shall we have that kind of living? We already spoke about the peace of Christ who is to arbitrate in our hearts, and now we will speak a little more about the Word of Christ dwelling in us richly. I would like to say a little more about, there is a verse in Colossians 3:13. Paul tells us what we should be like. He says we should forgive one another. If anyone has any complaint against anyone. I have to say that the longer I am in the church life, the more I have to forgive others. And also probably others have something like that toward me, and that they should forgive me for. We need to, in the church life, for the one new man, we need to forgive one another. I don't know if you try that. In certain cases, I can forgive, but there are certain situations in which it's very difficult. I can't forgive. I need the life of Christ. A characteristic of that life is forgiving. You remember when the Lord was on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. When we take Christ as our living, as our life, if we live in a union with Christ, we are one entity with Him, in oneness with Him. The characteristic of that life of Christ is forgiveness. We don't have to force ourselves to forgive. Spontaneously, we will forgive one another if there's anything to forgive. This is a living we need to have for the one new man to be realized. For that one new man, we must have that kind of living. How can we have that living? We need Christ. This is what Paul speaks about here. This is to give us that Christ, to infuse us with that Christ, so that we could absorb that Christ and allow Him to live in us and through us. So there would be we and Christ. Christ and we will have one life and one living. Let's move on. Point C. Daily, we need to practice coming to Christ as the living Word and God's written Word, so that He may speak to us personally as the applied Word of the Spirit for Him to be infused, underline that word, infused into us according to the following life principles. The Bible can either infuse us with Christ, with life, or it can kill us. It depends on what kind of people we are. You remember when the Pharisees came to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord said that you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but you are not willing to come to me. How can we do this, that the Bible would not be a book of knowledge to us, so that when we use the Bible, what we got to know in the Bible, we can confront that with, how can we do it that we would not discuss things, you know, in a dead way with others, the things that we got to know in the Bible, debate about them. If we just take it in this improper way, it will kill us and then others through us. How can we approach the Bible for it to give us life, to give us its main content? We must come to Christ as the living Word and God's written Word. This God's Word is a written Word. It's a constant Word, Logos. But God's Word is also a person. In Revelation 19:13, it says that He who was on the white horse was the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and His name was the Word of God. This is Christ. When we come to the Word, we will not come to Christ as the living Word of God. If we do not come to a person, we will not obtain these blessings, the riches that we have in the Word. These riches will not be infused with these riches. If we come to the Bible, we read the Bible. It's wonderful that we read the Bible. We read the constant Word, Logos. But when we read, we do not feel that God is being infused into us, the content of that Word, in Christ as the living Word, who is the Spirit, there's something wrong with us. We may wonder, what's wrong with us? It may cause us to drop our reading of the Word because it will become boring to us. It will be killing us. So what we have in this outline here is very helpful, because it says here,
Chrystus się w nas wlewał przez słowo, musimy
to come to, for Christ to infuse himself into us through the Word, we need to come to the Word according to a certain life principles. Let's read on in the outline. C1, we must open our entire being to the Lord for the inner shining of the divine light and the supplying of the divine life. The one who experiences the greatest amount of transformation is the one who is absolutely open to the Lord. The first life principle, when we come to the Word, so that the content of the Word, Christ, could be infused in us, we need to open our whole being to the Lord. Our being consists of our body with two eyes, mouth, among other things, ears. Then we have our soul, mind, emotion, and will. And then the deepest part of our being, with which the Lord mingled himself, that is our spirit. When we come to the Lord Jesus as the living Word contained in the written Word, we have to open our whole being, our body, our soul, and our spirit. With our eyes, we need to read the text of the Word. With our mouth, sometimes we need to speak the Word. With our mind, we need to understand the Word. Sometimes we use lexicons, dictionaries, to study the Word. God gave us our mind for this purpose, so that we could understand the Word. With our emotion, we need to love the Word. We need to have a heart for the Lord. If we don't care about something, if we don't have a heart for something, then we stop doing it. So we need to open up to the Lord so he could infuse us with his love for the Word. Then our will, we need to use our will to take the way of the Word. What the Word says, we say amen to it, and in our will, we take that way. Eventually, we need to also open the innermost part of our being to the Lord. That is our mingled spirit. And we do it most often by prayer. We open up to the Word that we read, we understand, with which we have certain feelings toward. We say amen and we receive it in our spirit by all kinds of prayer. This is our opening up to the Lord when we come to the Word, our whole being to him when we come to the Word. If we do so, the Word will cause us to be infused with Christ, and Christ is light. Perhaps we wake up in the morning, we're in darkness, or after the whole day we're in darkness, something happened in the work, at work, a misunderstanding with a spouse, children are misbehaving, chaos, darkness. What do? I opened up the Bible, I read the Word. When I open up my whole being to the Lord, and the Lord is being infused into us, and he's light, we receive light from him. The darkness, this chaos, this confusion is scattered. There's light. When we have the light in our experience, this light brings us the life supply. When we receive light, we should not stop there, because the light, we need to go deeper. We should not stop in our soul with our understanding of something. We should take that light and by prayer bring that light into our spirit. And this light, because of that, will become life to us, and that life will supply us so that we can live in the union, life union with Christ. Point two. we must seek the Lord with all our heart. With all our heart. One third of our heart? And two thirds reserved for something else? No. All our heart. Three. We must deal with anything that separates us from the Lord. Paul in Acts 24:16, he said, he exercises himself to always have his conscience free of offense toward God and man. If there is someone who has something against us, we're in trouble because there's something that separates us from the Lord through this matter. The Lord and the one new man are one. The Lord is all the members of the one new man and is in all the members. If we have a problem with one member of the one new man, guess with whom we have a problem. We have a problem with the Lord Jesus. If we do not deal with that problem, if we just forget about that matter, about that offense or something that bothers us in our conscience, we will not be able to receive the blessings from God's word, life, light. The Lord will not be able to be infused into us. So we need to deal with it. We have a verse here from 1 John 1:9. We don't do it first going to that person. First, we confess it to the Lord. The best confession, which changes us, is not. It's not the confession that originates in our mind. We shouldn't do that. I did that, so I offended someone, so I'll go to apologize. I apologized, and after a certain amount of time, I did the same thing again. The confession that changes us, that transforms us, is such that is an issue of life, of light, that we received from the Lord in the Word. So when we said something to someone, the light that comes from the Lord will cause our mouth to be closed. Will not be able to do that again. When the Lord points to something, when we spend time with Him in the Word, we should deal with it and confess it. Sometimes I come to the Lord in the morning, not just in the morning. I read the Word, I try to pray, but I don't sense that infusion, the light, the life supply. Then I give up. I say, Lord Jesus, Lord, I'm sorry that I came to the Word without You, apart from You. I repent. I need You. I seek You. During this time in the Word, I seek You. I'm just before You, and I seek only You. Then the Lord can show us something. I cannot dispense myself into You because You did this or that, or because You behaved this way or that way, or Your attitude is this or that. Then I confess this, and the supply comes back. The light shines. By such dealings, we will have a clear sky. And in the clear sky, there will be a throne. There will be no problem between us and the Lord. In point four, it says that we must humble ourselves before the Lord, putting aside our self-confidence and self-assurance and looking to Him for His mercy and grace. We have a verse here from Isaiah 66. It's in the context of God seeking a home. Heaven cannot be his home. Earth cannot be his home. God is looking for a home. Where can he find it? Thus says Jehovah. Oh, but to this kind of man will I look, to him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. For the Lord to be infused into us in his word, we need to have a contrite, poor spirit. That means we should not assume that everything is all right with us, there's no problem, because sometimes, unconsciously, we may have a problem. There may be a problem between us and the Lord. Then we will not be able to receive the Lord in his word. Therefore, we need to humble ourselves and not trust ourselves, but in prayer come to the Lord and receive his mercy. Tell him, Lord, I'm coming to you to find you, to gain you in this reading of the word. I need your mercy. I do not trust myself. I don't rely on myself, on who I am, my own seeking. I need your mercy. I need just you, yourself. Lord, dispense yourself into us. If we have such a humble attitude, without any self-confidence, there will be no problem between us and the Lord. We will be experiencing the Lord's being infused into us through his word. Peter said that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Point five, we must exercise our spirit to pray over and with God's word, and exercise our whole being to sing, psalm, and muse on his word. We need to exercise our spirit. We already spoke about that. We need to do all these things that Paul talks about here. Then will be able to have our living for the one new man. Let's read point D together. By allowing the word of God to inhabit us, we can become a man of God filled with the breath of God, so that we can be fully equipped with God's word as the divine antidote against the decline of the church. To allow. There's no problem on the side of the word, but we need to allow the word to dwell in us richly. Allowing relates to us. In the same way, persevering in prayer, we need to do something on our side. The Lord is ready. Are we ready? Will we allow the Lord to dwell in us through his word? The same is with point three. We need to persevere in prayer. A, we need to allow adequate time for prayer, which will enable us to absorb more of the riches of Christ as the all-inclusive land. Colossians begins in chapter 1 with Paul showing us the all-inclusive Christ, whose type is the all-inclusive good land. And in this good land, we have a lot of riches. All we need for our living and for building up of the temple which is the church, we have in that land. What did the Israelites need? They needed to enjoy that land, take advantage of this land. So even as you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord, we receive the Lord into our inner being. Even walk in Him, rooted and grounded in Him. We have to be rooted in Christ. He is the good land. There are minerals in that good land, water, all that is necessary for the plants to grow. In order for us to have such a living that the one new man is here, we need to put forth roots. And not only that, we need those roots to be fresh. I don't know if it's a proper definition in the internet. I checked that. What is root build like? A root creates like hair-like roots that absorb, like little hair that absorb water and the minerals from the soil. And these parts of the root, they are responsible for absorbing all these things from the soil. That water and all those minerals is Christ, who is in the Word. And then we can absorb the Lord when we come in prayer. So we need to spend enough time for prayer. Because through prayer, we put forth our roots deeper. And those roots have those hair-like roots that absorb the Lord. This is why it's so crucial. Without this, we'll dry up. Those who receive the Word of God willingly, they grew up fast, but because they didn't have roots, they were distracted, they were discouraged and left. If we're in for us to overcome and be victorious through Christ in all kinds of difficult situations, we need deep roots. And these roots are built up when we spend the time with the Lord in prayer. We need to take time to absorb the Lord, contacting Him in a definite and prevailing way. Like us to note that these points A and B are related to our way of expressing the Lord, and the other one is how we are accomplishing His works. God is seeking His expression to accomplish His economy, and He also needs to deal with His enemy to establish His kingdom. Both goals we accomplish by prayer. I have to move on because we're out of time. To meet with God in the morning is not only to meet with Him early in the day. It is also to meet with God in a situation that is full of light. We should go to God alone without any persons, matters, or things to distract or occupy us. I would like us to pay attention to all the verses, but just particularly one. It's Exodus 34:3-4. This is about Moses. Something that Moses heard from the Lord. And the Lord said, "And no one shall come up with you, nor let anyone be seen anywhere on the mountain, nor let the flocks or herds graze in front of that mountain." So Moses cut two tablets of stone, like the first ones. Then Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to the Mount Sinai, just as Jehovah had commanded him. And he took two tablets of stone in his hand. The tablets are the word. The Lord spoke to Moses to do what? To take that word, to go to him up the mountain, to spend time with him. But he told him not to take anything with him. No persons, no things. He told him not to take any cattle, any flock. When we come to the word, we need to leave everything behind. Sheep, cows, persons, our spouse, our family, and just come to the Lord to spend time with him alone, without anyone or anything else. Just to be with the Lord himself. This is why it's so important for us to spend time with the Lord in the morning. Others may be sleeping, they don't ask us anything, phone is not ringing, just as Moses did. This is the best time of the day, early in the morning, to meet with the Lord. 3. When we pray coming forward to the throne of grace, grace will become a river flowing in us and supplying us. When we come to the Lord in a proper way, we will be coming to the throne, and that throne is the throne of grace. So we will be obtaining mercy, and then we will have grace, which is like a flowing river. This is the blessing we draw out from the Word when we absorb this living person, the Lord himself. If we do not enjoy the Lord, if we do not get infused with the word, with grace, there's something wrong with us. In order to fight on God's side against Satan, we need to persevere in prayer. We are on a war. This is not a physical war, just as the war that's taking place now behind our border. But this is a spiritual warfare. God's enemy usurped the land, the earth, and the universe, and he took upon himself the authority that is not his. And now what's happening in the universe, on the earth, and also in us, fights on the side of Satan against God, against God's will. And this is why God needs us to pray, and he needs us to persevere in our prayer, because such persevering prayer will cause God to defeat Satan through us. If we're one with God in our prayer, standing on the side of God, such persevering prayer looks like rowing a boat against the current, against the wind. If we stop rowing, then the current will take us the opposite direction. So we need to be steadfast, persevere. If we stop rowing, we will not be able to stand on God's side. When I was getting ready for this message, at a certain point, I read Brother Lee's testimony. He said that, "I do not tell you this about persevering in prayer. I don't tell you about it as a doctrine, but as an experience." I thought, oh, the brother had wonderful experience, so he's sharing with us. But when I read through it, Brother Lee said, "I know what I'm talking about." He said, "I had many failures in this matter, and I still have many failures in this matter." So this is a learning process. We need to learn this. How can we learn this? Brother Lee said that in his experience, the beginning is very hard. It's very hard to begin such a prayer life when we set aside a certain time of the day in which we'll pray, a little bit in the morning, maybe a little bit during the work, after work, maybe in the evening, a little bit of time. Then we will redeem this time to absorb Christ and to express Him, and also to stand on the side of God's will together with Christ to fight for God's interest on this earth, for the gospel. And this is a matter of a habit. I don't know if you remember from Daniel 6. When Daniel heard that there was a decree that he is not supposed to pray to any god for a month, and if somebody does that, they will be thrown into the lion's den. What did he do? What did Daniel do? I don't have the time to read the verse, but he went upstairs, he opened the window toward Jerusalem, and he just prayed. There are important words there. As he used to do. We know from another passage, or maybe this is the same verse, that he prayed three times a day. If we have such a habit, even if the situation is life-threatening, this habit which we developed, we built up, will cause us to keep on standing on God's side. We will not be afraid even of death. God will be able to fulfill His purpose. So the beginnings are difficult. I, at a certain time, had a situation. I got a little bit, I put on some weight, and I had to change my living, diet, you know, things I eat. And then, you know, I had to start drinking tea and coffee with no sugar. At first, you know, I grew up at home when we put sugar in tea or coffee. And I was wondering, how can people drink bitter tea, even more coffee? There was a need. I was motivated. I knew that this was important. So I decided that I will force myself and I will not put sugar in my tea and coffee. At the beginning it was difficult, but after a while I started appreciating it. I started appreciating the flavor of the coffee and tea with no sugar. Eventually I was surprised, you know, why others put sugar into tea and coffee. How can they drink sweet coffee and tea? The beginnings are difficult, but it's really worth it. It was worth it. And in this matter of prayer, it's even more worth it for us to do anything we can, anything in our power to build up such a habit. I need to finish up here. Be one as those who take sides with God. We find that the whole fallen universe is against us, and in particular against our prayer. Resistance to prayer lies not only outside of us, but even within us. To to pray is to go against the current, the trend in the fallen universe. See, we need to set aside definite times for prayer. Our attitude should be that prayer is our most important business and that nothing should be allowed to interfere with it. D. We need to remain in an atmosphere of prayer by continually exercising our spirit. Just very briefly, I would like to add here that sometimes, not sometimes, when we pray with a genuine, real prayer, with this prayer we pray into our spirit. And there we sense the Lord's presence, supply, light. We don't want to leave the presence of the Lord, but then when we finish our prayer, we go back to our old life. We live through our culture, our own principles, who we are by nature. Therefore, we need to keep that kind of atmosphere of prayer, to remain in an atmosphere of prayer throughout the day. And what helps me with this is that when I come to the Lord in small things, small matters. Brother Oscar said, when he buys something in a store, he should first talk to the Lord so he wouldn't have to take it back later. We have so many things like that. Wonderful opportunities. The Lord often reminds me of something I did, something small I do in a daily basis, but I did it without the Lord. When we do our daily duties, we drive, we sit in front of the computer. Do you think when we do these things, we can't turn to the Lord and give it to the Lord so that He would do these things with us? Then we will remain in the atmosphere of prayer so that throughout the day we would have that living of the one new man for His appearing. We need to remain in an atmosphere of prayer by continually exercising our spirit. We need to pray without ceasing, to persevere in prayer, keeping ourselves intimately connected to the Lord. Even in the smallest details, we need to inquire of the Lord. To do this is to persevere in prayer and thereby to live Christ. We have some verses from Joshua here. They show us that Israel was defeated because they did not ask the Lord about something. They just went to fight without the Lord. They did as they did before. They had certain experience of asking the Lord and they won. But the second fight, the second battle, they lost because they didn't ask the Lord. They just made a decision in themselves. And now the last point, let's read it together. As we are ruled by the peace of Christ and inhabited by the word of Christ through persevering in prayer, He permeates and replaces us with Himself until all our natural distinctions have been eliminated for us to have the genuine church life.